702.
The upside of failure.
Sometimes failure is the foundation of greatest success stories.
Exactly that. And sometimes we do get knocked down, but sometimes we also listen to our heroes. We listen to the people we watch on the screen, and they've had some great ideas, because we all fail at some point. Everybody does. But how we pick ourselves up. Comedian and actor Rob Van Vuren. Hi, Rob. Good afternoon. Good to have you on 702.
Ray, so good to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me. This is a subject that is so dear to my heart. It's very difficult to choose which failures to talk about.
Oh my gosh, how many do you have?
Oh, countless. Countless.
All right, okay. First though, and I've been busting to actually ask you this, the movie Ludic, and I've been watching the trailer quite a bit it's Netflix, isn't it? And I must admit, just tell us about Ludic, because it's the first Afrikaans production, am I right, on Netflix, and it's kind of quite cool.
It's a huge deal, Ray. I'm so excited. Ludic is the first Afrikaans original series. It's a 6-part series streaming on Netflix from the 26th of August. I mean, Netflix as a platform is so huge. We're talking about 221 million members in over 190 countries. And suddenly this original South African Afrikaans content in the form of this really cool, really slick 6-part series is going to be available globally. I'm actually speechless. I'm really, sure. Really excited, and I can't believe it's happening.
That's amazing. Okay, so what's it all about, and where do you feature? Because I kind of caught glimpses of you. There's a lot of Arnold in the trailer, so take us through it.
Well, there's got to be a lot of Arnold in the trailer, because Arnold is, of course, Don Ludic, the titular character in our 6-part series. He is a respectable, in inverted commas, Pretoria businessman, living in affluent Pretoria East, but he has dodgy connections to the underworld. On the surface, he's a very successful high-end furniture and carpet salesman, but behind the scenes, he's involved in some dark underworld stuff that spirals out of control as our series kind of takes place, and in no small part due to my character, Swaith de Villiers, who is his long-suffering brother-in-law, I should say. Don is the long-suffering brother-in-law of Swaith, who's a very troubled individual, recovering alcoholic, a very checkered past. And he, Swaith, gets wrapped up in all of this drama and becomes an unwitting kind of integral part of the machinations of all of these murky underworld figures.
Sure. Sounds like quite something. If you want to see the trailer, just go to @RayWhiteSA. I've just released it on Twitter, so you can go and just click on the link there. It sounds like quite something. Rob, when does it release? When does it start?
It streams worldwide on the 26th of August. So put your reminders on now. From the 26th, you're going to be able to watch it wherever you are in the world. It's been translated, it's been dubbed into 5 different languages, so the scope of it is quite insane. But I beg you, please watch it in its original. It's about 60% Afrikaans. There's a lot of other indigenous languages, and it's a really authentic kind of no punches pulled depiction of a side of Afrikaans culture in Pretoria that I don't think we ever get to see depicted on film or on TV. So I'm really, really excited to see how people respond to it. It's a world-class product. I've watched the series. I'm so proud to be associated with it. I can't wait for people to see the show, to see what I've done in it. And to spread the word, we really want a second season, so please, guys, put it on your reminders now.
And, of course, it's got subtitles, just because maybe your Afrikaans is not so good, ne?
Yeah. It's got subtitles. You can read it, it just has that extra bit of gravitas and gravel when you've got when you got the original language there. So I think people are going to respond to it on a very visceral level. I'm very excited about that.
Me too. Okay, at Ray White Essay, go and have a look. The trailer's there for you. Now, the upside of failure. Tell us about drama school, because I'm looking at a few notes here. Things got off to a bit of a bumpy start.
Absolutely. I want to say that as a topic as a whole, I really do love this topic, because I do honestly believe failure is a gift. You know, because we always learn, it's way easier to learn from failure than it is to learn from success. And it's a lesson that I've learned over and over and over and over again. And often our biggest failures in the moment turn out to be a catalyst for our greatest successes. And that is demonstrated to me very clearly at the beginning of my career, and certainly the beginning of my career as a drama student. In my second year at Rhodes University, there's a departmental production that gets put on at the National Art Festival. And I assumed at that point that I was a shoo-in for that production. I thought I had established myself as one of the more talented students. I was a little bit too big for my boots, and I didn't crack the audition, and I was devastated. I didn't get the polls, and went right back to, you know, what my true passions are, and that and really truly believing in that this is the path I wanted to be on. And I made the decision right there and then to write my own show for the National Arts Festival. So I wrote a two-hander that I did with a fellow student who also didn't get into the production, but is also enormously talented, a guy by the name of Bevan Cullinan, who some people might remember as Gary the Tooth Fairy on those classic MS
yes.
ads. I wrote a show for the two of us, and we put a show on at the festival. And that decision to not allow other people to determine my success changed my life and my career instantly. Changed the way I looked at myself. It changed the understanding that I have of the kind of access I have in the bigger picture. You know, we get stuck in these small picture things, and a failure in a small kind of frame can feel like the whole world. But as soon as you realize that you can actually step out beyond the parameters of what that failure represents, suddenly that the rest of the world opens up to you. And yeah, that decision after that heartbreaking failure changed my life. And yeah, best failure I made was not getting into that production.
It's interesting, though, also as well, because sometimes we start out and we think we're very good, but somebody doesn't like us. And very often people are also told, you're never going to do well in the acting world or whatever you're doing. You're never going to do well, just give it up. And then it just strengthens your resolve. And you maybe years later go back to that same person and say, hi, my name's Tom Cruise. Who are you? You know, that kind of thing. It gets you going.
Yeah, I think you can use those failures to strengthen your resolve. And also, I think you appreciate the opportunities when they come around. If you can really acknowledge and sit in the failure and really try and learn from it, you appreciate opportunities when they do come around. And you know, how you react to a failure really determines how many more failures you're going to make along the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something that I truly believe in. And the second example I wanted to use was kind of the constant threat of failure in stand-up comedy, which is something that I've really come to terms with over the last 10 to 15 years that I've been a stand-up comedian. And it is really the kind of the fulcrum around which the art form works. The stakes are so high. The line between success and failure is so very clear. It really is just kind of the principle upon which stand-up comedy works. And you always learn from the failures. They're always the biggest learning. They might be the most painful experience, but you always take away something that you never forget. Yeah. And that becomes a part of your arsenal that really strengthens your skill set.
Sure. Interesting. Okay, tell you what, Rob, I want to park it there for a bit, because I've got so many questions I have on that. But perhaps you do as well. 011-883-0702. Our guest is comedian and actor Rob van Vuren.
T's and C's apply. 702.
The upside of failure.
It's coming up to 21 minutes past 2 o'clock, and we're talking the upside of failure. We're talking to comedian and actor Rob von Fuhren. Rob, we were talking about being a comedian, and you know, it must be so difficult to go up onto the stage and then people don't laugh. What do you do?
Sometimes you just have to get the hell out of there.
You just run.
Yeah, just get out of there. This is the thing about stand-up comedy, is that the threat of failure is constant, and it's always around the corner. And sometimes you're just going to slip on the banana peel. Sometimes things are not going to go your way. And there is something about that that really keeps you honest. It keeps you humble. And it helps you appreciate those moments when it does go well. And I think that has been a huge learning curve for me throughout. And you kind of understand that success itself is fleeting. You know, it's dependent on so many variables that have to come together in so many different ways. And you've got to appreciate when it's there, and when it's not, you've got to learn the lessons you can.
It's interesting. Do you have a set that you have, that you like a killer set that you know, no matter what the crowd, this is going to work, because you've learned before what didn't work, but you've got your set?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You have a bag of tricks that you know you will use in dire situations if you need to. And it certainly helps. Like, I fail a lot less. There's certainly a lot less times where it's totally hopeless. But even then, there's always that gig where it just won't work. No matter what you try, it just doesn't work. And the trick is to get through it, try and figure out what went wrong, try and learn from that particular one, and keep moving forward.
Yeah. You must have battled during COVID-19, because sometimes if you're doing a virtual show, it's not the same thing. It's lovely to be with the people.
Oh, absolutely. It was crazy. It was a huge learning curve for all of us as comedians. Suddenly we were all thrust into the online space and doing our jokes to, like, no one. You know, you in your room on your own. Was a huge learning curve. Lots of failure that we all experienced across the board. But again, you find your way through it. I'm very happy that we can play for people again. That is a huge relief. But yeah, lots of lessons learned through that as well. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Tell us some war stories now. What have been the gigs that haven't worked, but you've turned the crowd around? I mean, what has happened? Have you sort of walked into a place and there's been sort of crickets? What happened?
You know, there's so many different things that can go wrong. I've been in like a corporate environment where they do the awards ceremony and it takes 4 hours and you only get on stage at 11:30 at night. People have been drinking the whole day. They've been doing boring award ceremonies, and you get on stage and you realize there's an entire like ballroom dance floor between you and where the people are seated. And it's just, there's just no way it's going to work. Or like being in a venue where it was not equipped for comedy. Suddenly you're in a restaurant, there's no stage. I remember a Cornet Twaki show we did, we had to jump on tables and try and create a stage. And like, and eventually going like, well, no one can hear us, we might as well just leave anyway. Once we played a funeral by mistake, but that's really another story.
You did what? You played at a funeral? Okay, now you need to tell us.
But I must say that I think what's interesting for me about the conversation is that this talk about failure and all these things, these lessons that I'm highlighting, is stuff that I used to such great effect while playing Swayze in the videos in Lübeck. He's a character that is so beset upon by failure. He believes he can't make the right choices because everyone else is making the choices for him. And what's interesting about him is that he lives in a space where he thinks his life is so small stakes, but he ends up making these really big stakes decisions that he doesn't feel like he is a party to. And I could relate to that in terms of this whole conversation about stand-up comedy, about how you constantly kind of operating in this high stakes environment, and you can almost become numb to that. in a way. And, and that's also part of the lesson, is to keep yourself alive and remember that you are walking a tightrope, and to be alive in that moment. So for me, there were lots of really kind of interesting crossover points between this discussion and the portrayal of Swaith. You know,
so interesting.
And what we were talking about grasping an opportunity. For me, number one, this part itself was a huge opportunity, to get the opportunity to play Swaith de Villiers on Netflix's first Afrikaans series streaming worldwide on the 26th of August. Was a massive opportunity. I don't normally get to do dramatic roles. I'm normally the comedy guy. So that for me as well was like, please watch Lyric Netflix, 26th of August.
26th of August. Why? Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Comedian and actor, Rob van Vuuren, a.k.a. Swaith. Look forward to watching you on Netflix. And thanks for joining us on 702.
Thank you so much, Ray. Have a great day.
You too. There we go. Rob van Vuuren. And go see Atre White Essay.